Welcome to the Council of Trent podcast, a production of Catholic Answers.
Hey, everybody. It's Free for All Friday here on the Council of Trent podcast. I'm your host, Catholic Answers apologist and speaker, Trent Horn. And on Monday and Wednesday, we talk apologetics, theology, how to explain and defend the Catholic faith. But on Friday, we talk about everything, anything, all the things. As my colleague Jimmy Akin would say, there are many things to know and share. Jimmy always does those great articles. 12 things to know and share about John the Baptist or different things like that. So all kinds of the things that we talk about on Friday. Friday is just whatever I want to talk about. And different things will inspire me with different topics. But one thing that inspired me was a message from one of our supporters at TrenthornPodcast.com, which, by the way, if you enjoy the Council of Trent, you want to get access to bonus content, our catechism study series, New Testament study series, Council of Trent mug, keep in your kitchen. Find all that at TrenthornPodcast.com. Definitely go and check that out. But one of the patrons asked me, I'm interested in writing a book I'd like to publish. What's some advice that you have for someone who wants to go out and publish and write? How do you do that? And I love talking about that because probably my favorite thing to do is debates and dialogues, and then a very close runner-up is writing. I love writing. It is really an art for me. It is a passion. When I was a little kid, I tried to draw, and I had an art teacher telling me that I was bad at drawing. I think I was like 8 years old at the time, and it just like crushed my spirits. And I still can't draw. I am terrible at drawing. So I can't, my hands just can't move the pencil and pen or the paints. I can't draw to save my life or paint to save my life. But I can take words and I can paint a picture with words. And if I can put words on a page, then I can really show something. And actually, when I was a little kid, my mom would bring home these notepads from her work at the phone company. And I would just write and write and write and write and write and write on these notepads. And I realized that writing was something that I could do. Even if I couldn't draw, I could write. And so now I've written millions of words, probably. I've written at least 9 books now, articles. I write out scripts for my rebuttal videos. So I've done a lot of writing. I've done a lot of publishing. I've published magazine articles. I published with Catholic Answers Press, but also with Ignatius Press, published with the National Catholic Bioethics Quarterly. So I have some experience in this, and I'm always happy to help people when they have ideas that they want to share with me. So if you want to publish, then there's really 2 elements here that I want to focus on. First would be the writing part, just writing the stuff. The second part would be the publishing part. Like, okay, you wrote the thing. How do you get the thing out there so other people will read it and like it and maybe encourage you to write things as well? So let's start with the writing. How do you become a good writer? The same way you become a good anything. First, you have to be familiar with the greats. You have to be a reader. It doesn't mean you have to read every single book that's out there. But to be a good writer, and now there's a difference here, of course, between fiction and nonfiction. A lot of what I say is going to apply more to nonfiction. I've tried writing fiction. I have a fiction book sitting in my hopper, in the dust, you know, not the dustbin, in the virtual desk drawer. I would love to finish it one day. But there's so many nonfiction elements that I need to write. I don't know if I ever will. So there's the thing. So for nonfiction, one reason you need to be a voracious reader is in most nonfiction works, you'll have to cite other people. So you know, when I'm writing on philosophy or apologetics or whatever it may be, I cite the people who agree with me, people who disagree with me, reference sources, church fathers, scripture, scientists, historians. So to be especially a good nonfiction writer in a subject, you have to have a vast knowledge of the subject matter so you can draw very interesting quotations to cite from, pull interesting research from. So to be a great nonfiction writer, you really have to have a wide command of the material. That's why really great nonfiction writers tend to be narrow. They write about very specific topics so they can be masters of that particular field. So you might be thinking, well, okay, I'll just do fiction. Fiction's easy, right? You know, I don't have to know all this nonfiction stuff and do all these citations and endnotes. I'm just going to write my story. Well, no, because if you start writing it, it'll sound like derivative dribble. And if you started, it would be like if you tried to play the piano for someone and you just started banging on the keys. How do you become a good piano player? You have to listen to a concert pianist. How do you become a great guitar player? You got to listen to great guitar players. I love Carlos Santana, for example, when it's just him doing little guitar riffs. I played the trumpet in junior high. I listened to Louis Armstrong, Satchmo. What a wonderful world. You know, I kind of remember the trumpet now. But my point is, if you try to learn or do anything, you have to study from the greats. You have to look at the people who have been doing this for a while, and you learn from them. But you don't want to copy them. You just got to see how they do it. And then you start to develop your own voice. So to become a great writer, you have to read. You know, if you want to read, you want to write great fiction, you got to read great fiction. Read all different kinds of fiction. So you get a feel for it. Here's my next tip. Practice with shorter mediums first. See if you have the gift. It's fine to write if you just enjoy it. You don't have to please anybody. You can write for yourself. That's great. But if you're saying, hey, I want to write books that other people are going to read, well, you have to assess if you do have the gift or not. Part of it is talent. Part of it is just a gift. Like me, I do not have the gift when it comes to basketball or dancing or many other things. So I would not be able to do it in any kind of professional way. It's just not going to happen. And so especially if you're thinking of becoming a professional writer, if you want to do this as a more than just a hobby or a personal venture, you want to try to make a living out of it, you got to see if you got the gift. So you got to practice first. Do people want to read your writing? Do a blog. You can even do kind of a video blog, vlog, YouTube video, where you write it out and you could post it on a blog. You could post the audio or post you reading it on YouTube. You can get a teleprompter, write it out, and you read it on YouTube. You know, because now you could also just put the text and the audio on YouTube, but YouTube, blogs, magazine subscriptions, many places will ask for open subscriptions to their issues. Start with short pieces that people will read. Usually around 700 words is nice that people will just want a quick breeze through if they're reading online. Whether it's fiction, maybe it's a excerpt of a chapter you're working on, or the opening of a book, or it's just a nonfiction. You know, you're just writing about a particular subject. Start small, and then you can improve more and more and more as you go through it. And it's just easier than pouring your heart out into a 50,000 word book and nobody ends up reading it. And you can learn the craft of writing step by step by doing something like a blog post. All right, here's the next one for writing. Write about what you love and know about and that people want to hear about and is good for them. Kind of a four-pronged test that I give with my own writing. If you're going to write about something, this is, what are you going to write about? But here's what I think are four good steps for figuring that out. First, it should be something you love, because as you finish the writing process, you will hate the book. It's just awful. When I'm almost done with the book, I just want to be done with it and never see it again. So to sustain me, ask me something, a subject I love. Write about what you love and that you know about. So you love it, and you love it so much, you know everything about it, whether it's a nonfiction subject or it's a fiction book. Oh, by the way, if you write fiction, a lot of times you'll have to do research, especially if you write historical fiction. Now, you might say, well, I'm going to set it in the present day, like with everybody else. Well, you're at a risk of that being boring. But even there, who are your characters? Eventually, it's going to be about something you know and love. And if the only thing you know and love is you, you're just going to have to write a story about you. But if you're going to write about a Wall Street banker doing Wolf of Wall Street or, you know, stuff like that, well, then you have to read about Wall Street. You have to learn about it to make sure you know what you're talking about, that you're writing a realistic story. Even if it's science fiction or fantasy, you'll have to read other people and read the sciences and the literature that it's based off. So yeah, you love it and you know about it. If there's a subject you love and you just know a bunch about it, you're already off on the right step. But then you'll have to say, do people want to hear about it? If you really want to make it a profession, you might know a lot about and love polka dancing, but you probably won't be able to make a career as a professional author who writes about polka dancing. There is probably a hardcore dedicated polka groups out there, but your history of the polka king, I think it was actually a movie about him, actually really fascinating. You know, it's only going to go so far. It just depends. Now that is actually more of like a dramatic story about an individual, things like that. things like that. But if it's just about, I mean, if it's a very, very narrow subject that people aren't interested in, you might sell a few copies, but you won't get out to a lot of people. Finally, then it's good for them. Don't, you know, because you could probably sell a ton of books. If you just want to sell a ton of books, write pornography. Write 50 Shades of Grey. If you want to sell a ton of books and go to hell, hey, there's a path for you. If you want to glorify God, find what you love, what you know a lot about, what people want to hear about. Like, people want to hear about how to be happy. They want to hear about fulfillment. There's ways to give people good content, even if they don't necessarily want it at first. So I call that pouring the Velveeta on the broccoli. They don't want, kids don't want the broccoli, pour the Velveeta melted cheese on it. And it's a way to get it to them. So that's what I'd recommend there. Let's see what else. Read your writing to other people and be open, honest criticism. A lot of times what I do is I will read it aloud. I'll read my writing aloud to people. I've done this with my wife. I read Why We're Catholic aloud to her, and that helped me to see where I needed to kind of trim the fat, if you will, so the book flows better, and then get honest feedback about it. But before you start reading this, reading it aloud, it just helps you to see, oh yeah, that doesn't really flow well, or that doesn't make sense. And if you read it to someone, they'll say, I didn't understand that part. Because it might have made sense to you in your head, but you know, it's all in your head. You have to assume the other person doesn't have everything in their head, and you got to give that to them. So read it aloud to others, use that to trim the fat, and be open, honest criticism. It hurts, nobody likes it, but it's good for us. It's broccoli. And then if it's a really nice person like your spouse, and they're really nice to you, well, that's like Velveeta on the broccoli. Finally, if you're going to write, make an outline of your work. Some people say, I need to get book writing software. No, you don't. No, you don't need to do that. Just get a Microsoft Word document. I usually make an outline, and then I do a Word document for each chapter to keep things straight. I write each chapter in its own document, and then I combine them all at the end. Make an outline. And to give you encouragement, set a word count goal. And it can be short. Just say, I'm going to write 200 words today. I'm going to write 200 words. 200 words is like two long paragraphs. And you say, well, I'll never get it done. Well, think about it. So you do 200 words a day. And Monday through Friday, that's 1,000 words. All right? You do it every week. In 1 year, you'll have written 50,000 words. Now, if you go at that speed, you need to take time to clean it up, edit it. You may find you'll go faster than that. But if you take that speed, it may take you 18. Then if you do it that way, it would take you 18 months to write a 50,000-word book. Why We're Catholic is about 50,000 words. You'd have a book that's about 220, 250 pages. And you did it all by writing 200 words a day, Monday through Friday. It just slow and steady wins the race. Just keep going. And every word you write, time can't unwrite it. Just get it down on paper. People have different writing styles. Some people start at the beginning and go to the end. Other people jump around. I'm someone who, I'm more of the House of Pain school. I jump around. Anybody? Anybody? That was a 1992 reference. Jump around. Jump around. Da, 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 jump around. Okay. Anyways. So you want to publish now. I want to publish. What do I do? Well, it's really, really hard to get out there to publish. You basically have two options. You can self-publish or go through a traditional publisher. Those are basically your two options. Each has pluses and minuses. So traditional publisher, right? You're like, well, Trent, how can I publish at Catholic Answers or Ignatius Press? Like, what do I do? Well, you have to go to the editor. They usually have a submissions inquiry. And you say, I'm interested in publishing a book. Sometimes you never hear back. But usually, here's what's hard about a traditional publisher. There's a catch-22. They'll say, well, I want to publish a book. Great. Who have you published with before? Well, I haven't published with anyone. Okay, well, get a few books out there and then we'll talk to you. So it's like for a publisher to notice you, you have to already be published. But to be published, they have to notice you. And it's a catch-22. So that gets really hard in that respect. So it's kind of like, hey, start in the minor leagues of baseball before you get to the major leagues. You might have to go with a smaller publisher and then get up to more of a big-time publisher. Or if you already have a name, people might want to publish with you. If you already built up a name through a platform on YouTube or you're with radio or TV, that's another easy way people will want you to write. Or sometimes they want you so bad, they'll pay somebody else to write the book for you and put your name on it. But if you're that famous, you don't need help from me and my little podcast. Traditional, though, you'll have to do is look, give them a sales pitch. You'll have to write a cover letter that says, here is my book. Here's what I want to write. And then you'll have to show, here is the market. People want this stuff, but there's hardly anything out there that addresses it in the way that I would address it. And then a sample of writing. It doesn't have to be a whole book, but you can send a sample chapter, for example. And I always want to look at a sample because I actually help on the acquisitions committee at Catholic Answers for when we bring in new books. And don't come to me to try to get around the committee or something like that. But I've been invited to look over manuscripts to see if this would be a good fit for us. Sometimes it's a great author, but the topic's just not a great fit. Sometimes the topic is a great fit, but the author just doesn't have the writing skills that they've not developed yet for the audience of our press for it to be a product. I've read some books. Usually the very first paragraph, I can know if it's good or not. I can just tell by the author's prose. And hey, look, I feel this, like when I go back and look at my first work, I don't know, I feel like I've grown in that area. I'm kind of not as happy with my first work. I kind of want to let that go into the ether and replace it with a second edition as soon as possible. So you'll have to make that pitch and be open to that. And finally, if you go to a traditional publisher and they say, yeah, we're going to publish your book, don't expect to be rich and famous. Because a lot of publishers, they expect you to do the work to get the book out there. They'll put your book in a catalog, but you have to go to the radio shows, promote it. They may run a few ads for it, but a lot of times you're the one that has to promote the book. A lot of publishers, now Catholic Answers is different. We focus on a few titles each year and really market them. A lot of other publishers will just release 100 books a year. And if each one only sells a few copies, the publisher still has sold a ton of books. Each author just doesn't make very much money on the royalties there that come from that. Now, a benefit of traditional publishing is the publisher usually hires a copy editor, a cover designer. They pay for all that stuff, but then you don't get as much money back from the book when it's sold. So you might think, okay, I'll do self-publishing. I'll do it myself. Well, here's the problem. You may not have as much reach as the publisher. Even if they're not advertising, you're in a catalog that reaches a lot of people. You have to say, can I move the book more? You may be able to, or you may not. You do get a higher royalty. I think on Amazon, in some places, you can keep like 70% of the book sales. But now the costs are on you. Because some people say, great, I'll take 70%. And then they make their own cover and they edit their own book. And the problem is they keep 70% of a crummy book that doesn't sell well. So if you're going to self-publish, do the work, pay an editor, pay a cover designer to make it look professional. You got to spend money to make money sometimes. So when it comes to that, oh, and editors, when you hire an editor or if you're going to publish and you have an editor working with you, you can't take it personally when they change your book up. When I first started, I was kind of protective, like, oh, I want to keep this. And oh, no, don't change it like this. It should be like this. Now I'm like, yeah, whatever you guys want to do, just fix it up, make it sound good. I've learned to let go a little bit over time, and you will have to as well. Finally, once you get it all out there, let's say you publish with yourself or with a traditional book, traditional publisher, now what? Learn from your mistakes, put it out there. People will read it and they'll give feedback. They might give 5 stars on Amazon. They may give 1 star. May give 3 stars, which is usually the most thoughtful criticism. Learn from your mistakes. Try again. Write again. You know, maybe it's not your first book, does not have to be your last book. So if there's thoughts, if you're interested in writing, publishing, or if you know someone who is, this might be helpful for them. Hopefully you can maybe share that with them. But thank you guys so much. And yeah, I just hope you have a very blessed week.
If you like today's episode, become a premium subscriber at our Patreon page and get access to member-only content. For more information, visit TrentHornPodcast.com.